time now for your comments. Listeners responded quite strongly to David Malpass's story in our series on Dirty Work, profiling firing specialists who terminate people from their jobs. Bill Riccio of Fort Myers, Florida, said he was nauseated and sickened that Howard McCain of Wright Management Consultants said he's fulfilled by his work firing people for a living. Bill Riccio writes, McCain stated that he takes satisfaction in making firings consistent and, quote, more humane, just like executions by lethal injections are more humane. Please give me a break. Hope Caritas is a human resources professional in Parker, Colorado. She says it's a delicate balance whenever it comes to terminating employees. She writes, the respect and dignity of the employee must be protected along with the interests of the company. Sometimes it's hard to do both. Unfortunately, some employees will sabotage a company when they find out their job is gone. A person can crash a company's servers or can send messages with inappropriate comments, bad-mouthing the company to other employees and customers. Employers who don't take precautions to prevent this type of destruction, she writes, are foolish and even negligent. The pharmaceutical giant Merck took issue with reporter Peter Overvie's inclusion of the company on a list of ones with large legal and economic troubles. Merck officials said the company did not restate billions of dollars in revenue for its subsidiary, Medco Health Solutions Incorporated, and officials said Merck withdrew Medco Health's IPO solely because of market conditions. Peter Aldino of Cheshire, Connecticut, said he was touched by my interview with John Bailey, who was a member in 1955 of Charleston, South Carolina's first Black Little League team. John Bailey told how he and his young teammates were crushed when they traveled all the way to Pennsylvania to the Little League World Series and still weren't allowed to play. Peter Aldino writes, to know that we have come so far in the past 50 years gives some hope that someday, as we were created equal, so will we all be treated equal. Nothing can take away his hurt. Only the knowledge that we have begun to overcome hate brings solace to what was evidenced as a terrible injustice to the ambitions of so many young men. Some of you wrote in to correct an attribution in our story on people whose hobbies mean as much to them as their jobs. By logic and reason, we die hourly. By imagination, we live. Was written by John Butler Yeats, a successful portrait artist and writer, not, as many of you thought, by his son, William Butler Yeats, the poet. Send your comments and corrections to morning@npr.org or call the listener comment line at 202-842-5044. Please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.